I always find our celebration of Palm Sunday to be one of the most dramatic days in our church year. And part of me ends up asking, what went so wrong? We begin our celebration with the beautiful commemoration of Jesus' entrance in triumph into Jerusalem. We wave our palm branches and with the crowds yell, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It is to that moment perhaps Jesus' greatest hour, his great triumph. Everyone seems to be on his side. Even the people that are gathered there as they yell out, some of them say, tell your disciples to be quiet. They're acclaiming you so much as to make you God almost. And on this moment, even Jesus says, if I were to tell them to be silent, even the stones would cry out. What a wonderful triumph Jesus must have experienced. But then, what went so wrong? By the middle of our Mass, as we read the Passion, we find Jesus betrayed, crucified, and dead in the tomb. What a turn of events to commemorate in such a short period of time. But I think as we read the Passion today, I'm always struck by the different characters and their involvement in bringing about this great change of events. For surely we know that some of the very people who on Palm Sunday were yelling, Hosanna, blessed is he, we find later in our gospel yelling, crucify him. We want Barabbas. How could this be? Well, we know that there are many people who bring about the death of Jesus that are named in our gospel. And of course, we tend to focus on Judas, the chief priests, the scribes, leaders of the Jewish people, Pilate, the Romans. But if we look, we see that amidst all this betrayal and opposition to Jesus, Jesus seems very much aware of everything that will happen. We see that too at the beginning of our Mass today. Jesus dictates exactly what will happen. Go find the colt, untie it. The person will ask you, say this in response. Jesus seems very much in control and knowing what's going on. And that continues through our gospel. In the upper room, he tells plainly to his disciples, the hand of the one who will betray me is here. He's with me at my very table. Jesus knew he would be betrayed. In fact, not only did he know that Judas would betray him that night, but he knew Judas would betray him on the day he chose him to be apostle. Jesus knew everything, and yet he still chose to have it this way. It's interesting to watch the apostles in the upper room when Jesus says, the betrayer is here. It says that they all debated, who would do such a thing? In another account of the gospel, they ask, is it I? Could it be me? Betrayal. It's a very important part of the Passion. And in some ways, it's fitting that as we read it today, that the crowd part is often given to the people and we're put in that awkward position of ourselves having to yell, crucify him! Crucify him! And perhaps in our mind, I've even had people come up to me and say, I just don't feel right saying that. I would never say that to Jesus. Sadly, we know that it's exactly what some of the apostles were thinking at the Last Supper. Who could do such a deed? Surely not I. And yet we are faced with the thought that if we're honest, we could. We really do, through our sins, yell, crucify him at Jesus. We reject his love. We too cause scandal. The church has never been alien to scandal. And perhaps that's why Jesus chose Judas to be his apostle, even though he knew he would betray him. If we can see the scandal of Judas and then see that Palm Sunday, that Good Friday, that our liturgy today is not the end, that there is a triumph yet even after all this, perhaps we can see scandal in its proper place. For we know that even to this day, the church knows scandal. You just have to turn on the news today to see accusations of sexual abuse in Ireland and then Germany, and those who would even attack the Holy Father himself unjustly. The church knows scandal and always has known great scandal. But Jesus chose this anyway. And I think that amidst our present scandals that we see going on in the world today, the story, the tragic story of Judas, can in fact be a sign of hope for us. Jesus today continues to know what he's doing. He knows the people he picks to lead his church. And yes, he knows that some of them are traitors. He knows that you and I are traitors at times. And yet he chooses us. And he does not give up on us. The betrayal of Judas was no greater than the betrayal of Peter that we read about. And yet the difference between the two is Judas despaired. He thought that there was no overcoming his betrayal and denial, and he sadly gives up and kills himself. Peter, on the other hand, has hope. He repents. He goes out. He weeps bitterly. And in the end, he returns to the Lord, who assures him, even in the gospel today, when you have returned, you must strengthen your brethren. And assuredly, that is what Pope Benedict, the successor of Peter, continues to do to this day. He strengthens us in time of scandal, in betrayal. Do we have a right to feel upset and betrayed when we see great sin in the church? Absolutely. The disciples themselves question, who could do such a thing? And indeed, we want to yell those same accusations today. How could priests betray Jesus in such a way as to abuse children? It's a crime that indeed screams out for reconciliation, for repentance and restitution. And indeed, in God's time, that comes. But we must decide what must our response be. Will we, like Judas, despair, give up and commit the spiritual suicide of thinking that the sins of a few somehow jeopardize our faith? Or do we, like Peter, recognize that scandal is a part of our life as Christians? We must triumph and continue on. For that is the final part of this great celebration of this Holy Week. Yes, we go through the sadness of betrayal and denial and scandal, and there was no greater scandal than Judas. But if we go through that, if we faithfully live out these days of this Holy Week and the Passion as we encounter it anew in our lives, we know what happens. We do not celebrate the sacred triduum this week of Holy Thursday and Good Friday without knowing that Easter lies at the end. We have confidence. We, as we go through this Passion, we do not leave here today in sorrow thinking that somehow Jesus is left in the tomb. Assuredly, we must go through the tomb, but only to arrive at the great triumph of Easter. That is what awaits us at the end. If we, with Peter, turn away from our sins, repent and carry on, and trust our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, to strengthen the brethren, just as Jesus trusted Peter to do. So we too must ask ourselves during this Holy Week, and faced with betrayal and denial, who would do such a deed? If we're honest, we should be able to answer, I could. If I were there, I might probably be in that crowd yelling, crucify him. But we pray that we might also have the grace to be there on Easter Sunday, yelling the words of triumph, to know that He is risen, He is truly risen, and He is with us. This is all present this Holy Week. We pray that we may enter into it, that we might go through the depths, that we might live on the heights a week from now. For surely this is the Paschal mystery. This is Jesus' gift to us, to know that amidst scandal, we triumph. Who would do such a deed? Who indeed? Perhaps me, perhaps you.